The government thinks the danger of the Gulf oil spill has mostly passed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. BP says it is making progress plugging its busted Gulf oil well. Now the Obama administration is set to announce the damage from the oil could be less than originally feared. The New York Times reports the government will announce today that roughly three-quarters of the oil has already dispersed. Here to tell us more is Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, joining us live. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
How does today's report square with all the oil we've seen in those photos from the Gulf? Where did it all go?
Well, if the government scientists are right, and remember they were pretty wrong at the beginning of all this when they underestimated the oil leak, but what they now think is about 75% of the oil has been captured by those skimmers and booms we saw, or burned off or evaporated or broken up by bacteria and the action of the seawater. Now, a lot of that's due to the massive effort to clean up the oil as it was leaking. But Peter Kemp of Petroleum Intelligence Weekly told me that Mother Nature also deserves a lot of credit.
The warm waters of the Gulf are very conducive to microbial action. It's extremely light, fine quality oil, which breaks down very quickly. And the contrast, obviously, is with the Exxon Valdez disaster, which was heavier oil in freezing waters.
Well, Mitchell, this sounds like good news. Does it mean the environmental impact is going to be less severe?
Well, that's a harder question to answer. It's still early days. You know, roughly a quarter of the oil is still hanging around. It's on the surface as a light sheen. It's floating around in tar balls. A lot of it's probably buried in the sand and the sediments. A big question is going to be how much damage that the oil has already done to marine life. The impact on the environment and in particular the fishing business will last well into the future.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Mitchell, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. European stocks are down almost 1% this morning. Investors seem to be getting increasingly impatient with our so-called recovery. Asian stocks were mostly lower, too. Yesterday, we saw more signs the U.S. economy is stagnating, and corporate earnings were not great. The Dow Industrials fell 38 points, a third of a percent or so, to 10,636. The war on plastic bags began in San Francisco 3 years ago when the city banned the bags from big supermarkets and chain drugstores. Now, San Francisco might expand the ban to all retailers. Here's reporter April Demboski.
The ban would mainly impact small business owners, but not all of them are against it. Dan Macarini owns a jewelry store and heads the North Beach Merchants Association. It's a group of about 65 local businesses. He says giving up plastic wouldn't be a big burden in the long run.
Initially it would. Like, I would have to get rid of some plastic bags here that I put jewelry or sculpture into, and I would have to replace those. But I don't think it's a huge expense.
But the American Chemistry Council opposes the expansion of the ban. Sherry Jackson is with the group's plastics division. She said she'd rather see the city focus on recycling programs.
We work with and encourage jurisdictions to take that approach as opposed to less consumer-friendly approach of bans and taxes.
California may get even more anti-plastic. The legislature is now considering the country's first statewide ban on plastic bags. In San Francisco, I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
It's summer travel season, and the roaming is easy. Too easy, in fact. Here to tell us a story of smartphones gone wild overseas is Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a cautionary tale of a roaming midshipman.
In this case, he's a Navy ROTC midshipman. He goes on a training mission to Guam. He arrives. He sends an email to his superior officer saying, hey, I'm here, and forgets to turn off the roaming feature on his smartphone, which means the email and all the rest is going to keep downloading into the unit. He comes back to Southern California, and hello, there's a $1,300 bill waiting for him from Verizon.
Happened automatically. He wasn't calling people overseas. This must happen a lot. Don't cell providers give you a break when that happens? You made a mistake.
they will oftentimes waive at least a portion of the bill, but it's a serious problem. In fact, in May, the FCC stepped up and said, we're seeing increasing cases of what they call bill shock, of people suddenly encountering these multi-$1,000 bills on their wireless accounts, primarily because teenagers are texting themselves silly and mom and dad have no idea how these bills are mounting up. So government officials want to crack down on this. The cell phone companies say we're sympathetic, but we don't think we need to go too far on the regulatory front.
Well, how hard is it? They could send you a text message, right?
Precisely, Bill. In fact, that's what the Europeans do. They will send you a text message when you're starting to go over the limits on your plan. They'll even cut you off if you're going over. It seems to me that what we need to be doing here is just simply more transparency about the usage. The cell phone companies say, look, if you want to find out how much data you're using, all you got to do is go online or call us. You do have the tools. This is true.
Grow up and learn how to use your cell phone.
Yeah, and there's a point to that. On the other hand, a lot of people just aren't going to be very proactive, especially if they're on vacation. So why don't we just simply have text messages going out at regular intervals saying, first of all, you're roaming. Second of all, hello, $100 right there. Try and nip it in the bud. Moreover, if you're on a family plan, mom and dad, the account holder, need to be alerted also. And why not this? Why not allow mom and dad to cap usage? If you go over a certain point, let's say $100 or $500 in data downloads, boom, you're cut off.
Kids, who do you think you are traveling overseas anyway? You're too young. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally, Toyota stands accused of having sticky gas pedals, but the company says drivers are just mistakenly accelerating when they mean to hit the brake. Well, according to the New York Times, inventors in Japan and Sweden have a solution for the automatic car, a single pedal. Pushing down applies the brake. To accelerate, swing your foot to the right. So on long trips, you'll just be pressing your foot to the side for an extended period. Goodbye gas brake confusion. Hello cramp on the side of your calf. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.